welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, there's a writing room bloodbath at YNR, the hooker killer story climaxes on GH, Megan Hathaway is back on Days, and Brooke and Taylor on B&B. Stay tuned. Welcome.
Is it recording now?
It is recording now. Doesn't happen very often, but we have to keep my podcast co-hosts on their toes.
No, bitch. I was on a
after 17 seasons of podcasting, every once in a while you have to forget to press record.
Me and Josh, we were all vibing. Me, Josh, and Luke, and the head is full. Go, it's not recording. I'm like, what the fuck, Luke? Yes, I got in that ass, and not in the freaking stinky way. Oh, Luke, girl, but at least it wasn't when we were talking about YNR, which we're right. going to delve into a little bit later. We just have to get the other girls out of the way. And
a lot of the episode is going to be about The Young and the Restless. Yes. But before we get to that, I've got to finish introducing Josh. Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Yes.
Oh, we're recording, y'all. How y'all doing?
Jillian, what did you think of Brooke and Taylor on B&B?
Take two. they're pushing the envelope, but I feel as though Bradley is trying to, you know, make you, you know, make tongues wag and your jaws drop because, you know, back in the day, we would have never, ever saw this happen. I mean, you know, we joked that Stephanie wanted to get with one of Ridge's girls. And we also joked that Stephanie wanted to get with Ridge, how she used to be such a beyond a helicopter. She was like a fucking shadow on Ridge. But my thing is, so the one that you should bring back is to either be with Taylor or with Brooke. My money would be on Brooke. Is for Jack Finnegan to come around. Jack Finnegan has not been seen for a while. Even when his son got murked by his bio mom, he wasn't around when he was in the hospital or when he died. He should be coming around now so he can give some intel on when Sheila was on the run all them years and stuff like that. We need something. Somebody. It can't always, you know what I'm saying? Like, he is the missing piece of this puzzle, in my opinion. He should be with Brooke, and it would be great storyline drama. Sheila would be pissed that Deacon was mooning over her. Bill wanted her. Now this one wants her, and for Sheila to just, and Sheila don't like it. Sheila does not play well when people want her things that she considers her things. So this would be fantastic right now. So that's just my take on it.
Josh, over the years, back in the day on the podcast, we said that Ridge was Stephanie's true love. And then it sort of became one of those things where maybe Brooke was Stephanie's true love. But is Taylor really Brooke's true love?
I don't know. I mean, I like them not always being enemies, but I would prefer them to set this up to be frenemies. I don't need them all kikiing up in that house. Oh, yeah. Give me popcorn, get me some pajamas. No. If they should have come to an understanding after the Ridge thing, and maybe they should have come together as grandmothers to say, let's do what's best for Douglas. But yes. I don't need them sitting around talking about this, that, and the other. Now, the dialogue.
You mean you don't think there could be some latent life scissoring between the two of them?
Well, if you want to hear Brad go, pussy.
Yes!
I mean, I they have chemistry. Right? They're lovely together. The only thing about Taylor and Brooke that I liked this last week was the real conversation. I needed to go back because I didn't look at it. I wondered if Michelle Valjean was in charge of that episode, because the dialogue where Brooke said, is it weird that I don't want to have sex with somebody I don't know anymore? And I'm scared to be with somebody else because I don't want to have to tell somebody else all of my history. And Taylor sort of echoed that. I thought, that's good dialogue. That's gross.
What I also liked was that they were like, for people who are new to the game, Everybody just thinks that Brooke is a sex maniac that'll fuck anything in her path. I loved that they brought up that Brooke was, she had a degree in what? Chemistry. I loved that. And I loved that she was like, that boy was running down her dossier. You did the Brooke's bedroom line. You did the belief. And he ran down and da-da-da. Brooke was just not hot in the ass, people. I mean, she is, but Brooke had a brain, and I love that they played that. I'm like, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I'm like, y'all are remembering that Brooke is a bad bitch. I loved it.
I also this week liked Thomas and Steffi's confrontation. Mm-hmm. I thought Thomas, if he's going to be crazy and a jackass, let him be all the way crazy and a jackass. And when he looked Steffi up and down and blamed her for losing his life, losing his job, and losing his son, I was like, okay, you're going to blame the whole dumpster fire on Steffi. I'm in.
I feel as though, I don't think it's crazy because he ain't pop out of no bush and tried to choke Steffi out yet or do some crazy shit with Steffi. True. I feel as though lean into him being entitled.
Because yeah, that's good.
When he's talking about, I should be able to see him whenever I want. And when he said it to Taylor and Steffi and Finn, when he said it to Eric, who they had as a talk to, I did not like that. When Eric, Eric looked at him and told him, it's not going to be like that, boy. And when he's talking to Paris, who, by the by, what's up with that? I don't have a problem with it, but go somewhere with it. Like, Zendaya is your man, but you have Thomas Bunkin in there. Like, we need to see more of that. And the fact that you're just cutting Thomas all this slack, like, I guess they're trying to make her some doe-eyed optimist. I don't know. But I see the elitism in him when he's always looking his nose down at the Logans, and he's just like, you took my job, and you have my son, like, ugh. And he hates the fact... You see that underlining current when he's like, I don't want Douglas at Hope and Liam's with Liam in his ear. I'm like, I like that. Like, they still need to play into that. Like, Thomas can still be a bad boy troublemaker. Just don't have him run nobody off the road. Yes, he did run that girl off the road. So cut. What's up? What was her name again? See, we don't forgot a name.
They started with an E.
Emma. Yes.
Emma. Yeah, they killed Emma
off the road. So get out of my face. Go play with your mammy. You know.
But Steffi also killed that alley girl, beat her upside the head.
Yeah, but we ain't going to get into that. But I like the fact that Steffi is putting her foot down with Thomas, because I did think for a second, Hope is going to be fucked like Chuck, because that boy go as he please. When she told him, you need to call first. Even I was like, what? When he was like, what you mean I need to call first? What are you talking about? And I love the fact that Finn was not playing them games with him.
Oh, he didn't want that baby there.
No. See, I like that conversation that Finn had with Steffi. You know, I saw quite a few people online. I can't believe it. They're just doing this to prop up Hope and Liam. No.
No.
I get it with Finn. Finn is like, look, I met you with Kelly, cool. And she was young, cool. We have our own. So we have a family. Now we got this boy who is, you know, he's probably an emotional wreck because of his crazy ass daddy and your crazy brother. Like, I get that he's like, no, I don't want to raise somebody else's kid, like your brother's kid. I like that because that's a conversation that needed to be had, because too many times on soaps, they're all like, okay. And every once in a while, you'll show rich girl Steffi stressed out raising two kids. And it's like, give me a break. You have a fucking nanny. I like the fact that Finn is like, look, we have a charmed life, but I ain't signed up to raise nobody else's other kid and dealing with your brother. I love that. And I love the fact that Finn is like, I'm not going to let you punk my wife. That's not going to happen on my watch. Because let's be real. Liam and Thomas would be bickering like two bitches. If it was Liam and Thomas, Finn is like, I'll mollywop you if you talk to her sideways like that. Like, he lays the law down. I like it.
I like it too.
Megan Hathaway did some punking on Days of Our Lives. Let's talk about it. Josh, what'd you think of Megan?
Megan Hathaway. So I remember her sort of like I was a wee child when Megan Hathaway started.
Oh, no.
And I was a wee child. But I remember her a bit. I remember the name. But I liked her on Beyond Salem. I thought Miranda Wilson was great. I thought she was a brilliant addition as a new potential Damara villain. And I'm excited to see her back. I like the way I like the voiceover of John telling Tony and Anna that he and Steve thought it was Megan Hathaway. And then they pan up to her and she kind of oversees the three women in the crypto chambers. And they're going to start waking up. I'm excited to see because I'm excited for an actual villain. And because Days has had some pretend villains over the last few years to a decade. I think Megan Hathaway, particularly if she comes back to Salem, could be a real villain. And I'm excited to see it.
Jillian, what do you think of how it all played out?
She came in like she didn't leave. She fits like a glove over there. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who this person is and see if she's going to be welcomed with open arms with the other Damaras, or are they going to be like, stone her, you know, get away from here. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's played out.
The thing about it is that she's sort of like the Damara that is okay. How'd I put this?
I don't know.
The writing for the various Damaras, Kristen is like Chaos Damara, who sometimes embraces her Damara roots.
Chad,
you love to get him for that.
Chad is not really a Damara. He's just sort of there. I mean, EJ is the corporate villain Damara who sometimes has a plot, but it's never ever dastardly like a Stefano plot. Tony is...
What you mean? No. You just glossed over EJ's history. EJ has had some dastardly plots.
Yeah, but it's not like that's been his primary focus in recent years. Tony
was laid up somewhere, so I get it.
Tony is like the quote-unquote good Damara in a way. Like, it will be interesting to see whether or not they can have her take on the Stefano mantle and if she's able to deliver it. I would have thought that it would have been Kristen that they would try to do that with. So the fact that they've brought someone else back to do it is interesting and intriguing, but also a little bit like, okay, cross your fingers and hope this works, at least from my perspective.
One of the things that was really interesting to me was when they were talking about saying that Orpheus said another Damara had taken the orchid, Anna started going through all the Damaras and she hit Peter Blake and she went, it could be Peter Blake. You know, he is so handsome and incredibly hairy chested and just so sexy. And Tony's just sitting there like, excuse me. And she's like, but I prefer people that look sleek like you. It just made me giggle.
That was fun.
I was surprised they brought up Peter Blake because, you know.
Come on, back in the day. But now we got Katie McClay on. Bring back Jason Brooks. And if Jason Brooks ain't available, I'm guessing William DeVry is. Bring him on as Peter Blake.
Let's talk a little bit about Eric and Brady. They're teaming up to get Stefan's memory back. It involves a toaster, a blender, an air fryer, and who else knows what else Dr. Rolf is.
And a partridge and a
magic
right,
bullet.
Trying to like use in the hotel room, if that's where they're at. Jillian, what did you think of this story?
They're above the Brady Pub, by the way.
Is that where they're at? Because I was like...
Yeah, that's Eric's bedroom above the Brady Pub.
Okay, because the hotel rooms that we see when like people go out of town are often interchanged with the Brady Pub rooms above the Brady
Pub. What? Yeah. You asked me what I thought, right? Shit. We ain't want to hear about your...
Josh distracted me.
No, you are... I hope you ain't really distracted. And this is take three. You know I did not like Rolf, you know, just... You know, using like a ninja blender to do something to this boy's brain. So he's in love with Chloe. And then, you know, she Gabby is like, magic eight ball, here I come, let me do something to his brain, and he's like, oh, I've hated it. It just could have been something where Stefan, he came back, he saw Gabby's life while he's watching on some monitor, as the Damaras do, they love to lurk, and he is conflicted because he wants to get back to his woman, but then he sees that she's happy and he doesn't want to destroy that happiness. Then he could have got with Chloe, but I digress. I mean, as long as they can just wrap that part up, I've always hated that, and I've always said, you know, Ronald, you don't have to always do that, girl, just like stop. You know, in the words of Fat Andrew Caldwell, because there's a slim one, and Potomac, you bitch, you Deborah. But anyways, Ron, stop it. Like, just push back from the plate with all this, you know, gizmos, and, you know, it's starting to become too much for me. You know, when they always, the boy and his, you know, Stefan and his brain, Marlena, Kate, whatever her name is, Kayla. And then, you know,
Catherine
Bo
Bell.
The line.
Stop,
you know,
it.
No, I did not say that. So nice try. Catherine Bell. You know, they all laying out, and I'm not, push back from the table, baby. You eating too much.
The only thing I liked about the Eric Brady thing was that Brady did text Stefan like from a burner phone to pretend like he was Chloe. And I thought, oh, that's kind of oddly smart for Brady. But then when Stefan started confusing Brady by speaking words, and so Brady was just like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to go all put my hands on you, get all, and it just choked him out, because it's like, Brady can't be smart. No, he's like, I'm going to get physical and just take you out. And then,
well, and
which
think,
just tickled me, because it's like, Brady can't be smart. He gets confused.
Don't you think it's also a bit odd that, like, this is all about him getting his memory back so that he can be with Gabby, but Chloe is the other primary focus, and she's been nowhere to be found. It feels like they're losing some momentum missing some momentum that they could have.
The stakes aren't high.
Yeah.
The stakes aren't high with now Chloe there. She's the missing link to make the stakes high. And it's just, you know, you're talking about her, but she needs to be there.
There are some things that are oddly paced about Days right now. And that's one of them. And I started sort of going back to when it moved from NBC to Peacock, and that was around September 1st. And Days shoots about 6 months in advance, and this would be right around the time where the Peacock stuff should start airing. Mm. And it feels like with Nadia being off screen, and we're not talking about this right now, but with the Ally, Chanel, Will, Sunny, the stuff getting wrapped up so quickly, it feels like we're in a moment where they're shifting, where this is the shift from NBC to Peacock, and they're wrapping things up, or this person's off screen. It feels like maybe in a few weeks we'll be back to a steady flow, but I have no way of knowing that. But knowing how far in advance they shoot, this feels like what's happening right now, because this is about 6 months after when it happened for us live.
Mm. Well, there was a lot going on this last week on General Hospital.
Yes!
The hooker killer climax happened, and Portia's wedding and the Trina daddy reveal happened. So let's dive into it.
No. The possibility of that man being Trina's
father. I never said who the father was. I said the reveal that... Trina's father reveal, which has been what's been building up.
There's no reveal, because we don't know. That it's implied that is
the reveal of Portia's secret.
That was good.
Thank you.
Josh, actually Jillian. We'll go to the climax for the second topic. What did you think? Now Trina's your girl. What did you think of how Portia's secret came out?
It was very interesting. Y'all know I have not liked that. Let's talk about how Curtis was coming for her. First and foremost, let me talk about the acting. Brooke Kerr, oh my God, her acting was brilliant. It wasn't histrionic, over the top. She was subtle. She was Donnell, he needed to tone it down some. Like, you were doing the most. And I was like, you barely do that. And I'm just like, bro, what are you doing? Like, he distracted me a little bit, but Brooke Kerr was just flawless. When Curtis, I really was hoping that Portia had a better reason for why she didn't say nothing. Cause I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, girl, if it were me, I would have, they should have said it. This is what Gene and Shelley wrote when they made the character of Curtis. I would have had Portia say, you want to know why I didn't say nothing? You were a cokehead with bad credit. Gene and Shelley made him a DEA agent that got addicted to coke. I'm like, and Lisa was in crack. I guess they said, we're going to level him up because I was.
Oh, oof. Jesus.
Yes. I was like, you two bitches. But they leveled him up and said, no, he doesn't do crack. No, 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 no. He does coke. And, you know, he got the bad credit. I'm like, really, bitch? When have y'all sat down and had a financial planning lesson on any of these shows? Shut up. But I would have loved for her to be like, you were an addict, Curtis. You really was. They missed that point. I just feel as though Kristen Dandan and Chris, you know, y'all picking and choosing which history y'all want to take. That should have been the history that y'all used. Even if y'all didn't want to go there with the coke aspect. Again, that was something Gene and Shelley wrote. She should have said, Curtis, you were an addict. You weren't in the frame of mind to take care of no child. When I went looking for you, you were sprawled out chasing the white lady. And I don't mean Nina. You were chasing the white ghost, boy. Like, I would have loved for that to happen. But, you know, Brooke and my babes, Tabby, they nailed those scenes. It was fantastic. I was hoping for Portia to be like, no, look, I did you wrong, but I ain't one of your little friends now. But I digress. When Trina was getting fucked, I'm like, girl, she ain't one of your friends. I know your mama did you wrong, but you still, I loved it. It was fantastic. The scenes were great. The only person that detracted from me was Donnell. Like, Donnell, his acting choice could have been reined in. And then Trina and Spencer, well, Spencer and Trina together in the Ava's gallery was so perfect. It was a full circle moment. They met there under funky circumstances. They've always had little shared moments there. And that kiss, I was like, oh, I was so happy. The picture.
Finally.
Oh, you saw, but whoever was the set designer that day, or who designed, like, who laid out that set that day, I see you, because in the corner, the pop art.
Yes.
It says, here we are. And I was like, I see you with that. I see you. And I acknowledge you. I love that. And Trina just wanting to be careless and do the do it, Spencer. Spencer has growth because any boy, let's just be real. A woman getting ready to just toss it at you like that. You're like, okay, let's set it off. Spencer has growth. He's like, no. And he shows that he loves Trina. He's just like, no, I don't want to do this with you here. I have too much respect for you. And if she said this would have been her first time too, I thought, oh my God, like Spencer wants to be a gentleman with her. This is friggin' growth. It was like, GH was on and popping. I'm not even gonna front. The only thing would piss me off was them on Spoon Island.
Oh, Jesus.
When Ava had that gun on that man, Ava, you was doing too much talking. Like, the Ava Jerome that we love came out when she shot his ass in the arm. You was doing too much talking, baby girl. You should have shot Heather in the face.
She shoots first and says later.
Exactly. No. You're a Jerome. But I get why they had Mac do it. It had to be Mac. Hell, even Ryan said it. He said it had to be you. It was brilliant. Ava's world, like, for Ava to realize, you two, you infiltrated my world from the inside out. Like, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It still makes me, you know, I'm still wondering, I'm like, is Esme faking it or not? Like,
that is a good question.
I'm on the fence with that. Some days I'm like, bitch, you lying. Other days I'm like, like,
but but in a way that's good writing, because
that's good acting.
Well, it is good acting, but like if they're actually setting up the character where the fan in the writing where the fans are like, is she or is she not? And there's an added element of suspense, acting, but it's also the writing.
No, it's acting, Luke, because I guarantee you, you would have had that same thing for Charity Rayma. Give me a break. So don't even. It's acting and directing. Throw her flowers. She's like one of the best finds on that show. It was brilliant.
She really is.
Laura, I'm going to say it until it happens. You need to be recalled, you bitch, you. Like, you cannot be the mayor and then in the middle of a police go and sit down. She's doing, like, you make me sick. You make me sick. And she grinning up in that girl's face. After she had that baby, I'm like, and y'all wonder why. Laura's grinning up and trying to let a sociopath off. Fuck out of here. I want someone like, see, Victor, that's what Victor should do. Victor should finance a slow, like an anonymous campaign to have somebody demand for her to be recalled and bring up how she's interfering in cases using Nicholas and Esme so Laura could be thrown out of office. That would be
Victor should run for mayor.
Oh no, child. Uh-oh.
Josh, we had the climax to the hooker storyline. Jillian alluded to some of it, but we had everything from a baby being born to fugitives on the run to Ava shooting Ryan to Nick's body, Nicholas's body needing to be handled. I'm getting a lot of groans from you, but I actually enjoyed the how it played out. I thought GH was the most enjoyable show this last week. GH, it was the one I was watching first. What'd you think, Josh?
So a couple of things. I'm just going to quickly go back and say, just to mention one scene, there was a scene where after Trina and Spencer get back from seeing Stella and they come back to the wedding, and they're talking about Trina giving the toast or whatever, but it's they're towards the end of it. Nicholas Chavez has his hand on the small of Tabiana Ali's back, and his thumb is just rubbing up and down on the small of her back just to comfort her. It was such a small thing, but such a thing you would do.
Yes.
If you were trying to comfort the person you love.
Oh,
and
by
I thought,
the
that is such good thought process to act like that.
And by the by, he knew better than the getting black people business when Curtis and them cornered him and was like, what's going on? And
he said, no, this ain't none of mine.
He's like, I ain't getting no black people. He knew. He come to the cookout. He know. He was like, don't get You find out by yourself. Don't involve me in that.
So well done. It was so good. Okay, I just wanted to mention that really fast. All right, so to the hooker thing. Okay, here's my issue.
We're not making hook or nothing. No.
No. Okay, so the Ava, I'll forget Felicia was there. We all know she was there, but Ava was great. I'm with Jillian. I wish she had shot first more and talked later. But
yes.
But I like that she shot the first time.
Let him know.
And that's all great and good. I thought it was, to be honest. Sometimes. Like, Days does stupid stuff, but they're in on their own joke. I don't think GH is often in on their own joke. And, like, Austin getting hooked and then falling in, I laughed. I thought it was funny. I don't know why I thought it was funny, because I just didn't care. But they're all, like, excited or they're horrified that Austin is dying or whatever. That part of it, I did not like at all. But two things. Avery Poole, who gave off a scream that was a great soap opera scream when things happened in the woods, and then things happened when she saw Austin fall. I thought she screamed. I thought she was great. What I can't get behind is this happens a lot on General Hospital, where it was very clear at the end of a story that the writers didn't know where they were going. And now to suddenly have Heather admit to all of these killings is like, okay. What?
I don't have a problem.
I don't. Well, you just think they didn't know that they were going to have Esme be Heather's daughter?
I do not think they knew this is where they were going. I really don't. And maybe I'm wrong.
That's not what he said about Heather and Esme. He's saying that he didn't think that they knew that they were going to have Heather fall on her sword for Esme.
I didn't. I really didn't.
You know what? I can see that with Allie Mills's interpretation of Heather. Even if the other one was there, Robin, I can see, you know, I don't have a problem with that because this is a baby that she wanted to keep. She had to give up, according to her. She wanted to do everything to protect her baby. I mean, she's avenging her baby. She went after all the hoes that was after all the people that went after that were messing with Esme.
And it's also in character for what she did when Franco was.
No,
still alive.
I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah.
I just don't think that this was the original plan for the story.
You don't think so?
What do you think out of everything that we went through on this plot?
Spoiler alert, I've always heard that she was supposed to be the hook killer.
I mean, who else of any of the number of people who they might have considered and then maybe killed off, who would you have thought that they were going to do it? You don't think that they actually started a storyline without knowing who their killer was. Is
Dina
that what
Higley
you're saying?
On this writing staff. Dina ain't on this writing staff, child.
I think GH does this quite a
bit.
Wait,
so you actually think that they started the storyline without knowing who their killer was going to be?
I don't know that they didn't know who their killer was going to be. I just think they changed it. And here's why I'm going here. Because I think that General Hospital does this sometimes. Because occasionally, this is where their retcons come in. Occasionally, they retcon a story to make it work because they've figured out in the middle where they want to go. Where I'm going with this is because they started a storyline and Heather was introduced in the middle of it. There was no,
we didn't know who the hook killer was.
I know, but like to suddenly bring out Heather and say she was incarcerated in a maximum security prison, but suddenly she was just black.
But to be fair, it
felt thrown together to me. That's my only issue.
May be no different than them feeling like they had to figure out availability. Like, actor availability can play into it, and they may have had some snafus and then ended up with Allie Mills.
No, I agree. I know. I don't disagree with you. It just doesn't.
He constructed
at the very beginning with this ending.
She was supposed to be the hook killer baby.
That's my only thing. It felt thrown together.
Nah, she was supposed to be the hook killer baby.
But it,
she was.
I'm just saying how it played out on screen. I'm not saying it's bad.
You're saying you don't think they knew, but I'm telling you, she was supposed to be the hook killer.
No, I hear you. I believe you. I totally believe you. It felt random in the middle. That's the only reason
here's how I would put it. If I was going to try and merge what you're saying with what I think happened, there was no nuance. And like, if they were going to tell this story and they were going to write it, you're saying there should have been foreshadowing. They needed a shadowy figure.
What I'm saying is
they did not provide, they did not lay the groundwork for when she suddenly showed up and then it was like, oh yeah, this is obviously
well,
gonna be her,
like,
because she just came
Heather
out of the
was
blue.
Esme's mother, and suddenly we have Heather as Esme's mother, and suddenly Heather and Ryan,
that was in the forecast. Heather was supposed to be the hook killer. I didn't see Heather's ass being her mama. That was a little like,
Yeah.
It feels all very wrapped up in a bow, and I don't really know.
You know.
So I think I will say this: I don't agree with you on the Heather part. I believe that they had that figured out with the hook killer because there was no other real viable alternatives before she showed up. So I'm pretty sure that they had that always planned out. Now, that having been said, her connection to Esme, that could have been a last minute thing from the simple standpoint that Heather has a history with Franco, already had one serial killer. They weren't sure what they were going to do. They knew they might have already known that they were going to use this story to kill off Ryan, but they weren't sure what they were going to do with Esme once her dad was gone and she no longer had a connection to Nicholas, because, I mean, other than the baby. So if they were going to keep her grounded,
she had no more connection to the
right. So they might have looked at, oh, well, Heather's going to be our killer. And so we'll toss in Esme as her daughter as a thing. I can see
Really think Ryan's dead?
Yes.
Well, in this case, they showed him shot and dead on the beach. I mean,
Nicholas's dead body. Do you think
Nicholas, to be fair, with Nicholas, we didn't know if he was dead. He got whacked on the head. That's the same thing what happened with Julliard. Got whacked on the head. That shot the shit out of that man.
Yeah.
He's dead. So
and the thing is, okay, so it's very similar to, and let's hope that Julliard never comes back in that role, but like Anna literally stood over his body until the other people showed up. Mac and Ava stood over that body until other people showed up. There was no instance in that shore scene in which someone would have been able to be sneaking in and give him a lethal dose of something to save him, or not a lethal dose. There was,
He's dead.
To be fair, just for continuity, Anna left Peter's body before anyone showed up. We complained about that when it happened. Just putting that out there.
I remember saying that she needed to put a bullet through his head.
To be fair, Anna stayed with him and made sure he died. Right. Then she said, I'm calling the authorities and walked away. She didn't stick around and wait for the authorities.
No, so, but what I'm saying is, she made sure he was dead.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. Nicholas, I think Nicholas is on the run. He ain't running because he ain't got no money. I bet you he probably team up with Victor I friggin' forgot this when we were going back and forth when you were griping and bitching about the money situation. We forgot that Nicholas did not have a prenup with Ava.
Yep.
That was their whole, that's how they started off. Ava married him. They were supposed to take down Valentine, and the clause in there, agreement was if one party cheats, the other one forfeits the money. Remember, that's why she tried to push Elizabeth up on him so she could get the money, and he tried to push up Franco on her so he could get the money. So there you have it.
Well, if Valentine wasn't currently in the cabin with Anna, I think that a Nicholas Valentine team up and Valentine saving Nick would have been,
that could be a redeeming thing. That could redeem him. Remember, currently
Valentine is in the cabin with Anna, so like continuity wise, that can't happen.
We don't know. He could have gotten a bat signal somewhere after.
He could have got the Cassadine signal.
The bat signal, and then Anna sleeping, showering, eating, whatever. He just do his thing. So we don't know.
Can someone explain to me why more people in Port Charles aren't freaked out that they think Anna and Valentine are dead?
Because everybody knows about it.
Everybody
who would care about Anna knows about it.
Yeah, everybody minus Victor knows about it.
I mean,
Victor and probably Liesl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's a good way to transition into this, but as the 50th anniversary of The Young and the Restless nears, Josh Griffith has fired the entire writing staff and is going to do it all himself.
Four of which were women, one of which was an African-American woman.
Mm. And Black History Month, he did
it. Right, he did it. In
Black History Month.
So before we dive in, because there's so much to cover, and I know we'll want to talk a lot about it, I just want to get your initial reactions before we dive into the details. So, Jillian, what did you think, real quick, as an instant reaction?
Shout out to, friend to the podcast, Joseph Capsch. JK, he's over at the Wrap. Back at the Wrap. I was doing something else, and I get an alert, and I'm like, and I'm speaking to Joseph too, and I'm like, what the fuck? That's like, it's what the fuck? So I go and I read, and I'm like, and I'm just, and what I said to Joseph, married with I, what I said when I read that, I was like, what the fuck? What is this? I'm like, you really think you Tyler Perry? Because the only person that does that is Tyler Perry. And I'm like, Tyler Perry can do that? I'm just astonished. I'm flabbergasted. I'm bewildered. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on there. Like, what is the thinking behind this? What is Sony saying? What is CBS saying? The optics on this is very bad. It's just crazy. Like, what are you doing? And yes, I'm going to say it 10 toes down. Months, but let me back this truck up. When Angelica left, I told people, this ain't a good look. I saw people, I ain't going to out you. Only if you try to say something slick to me, then I'll out you. So, yeah. I saw some people, y'all are saying this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's not. And it started to happen. The downfall started to happen. And then, you know, Josh acting, doing his own interpretation of Eve Harrington, because he was supervising producer for a while. Then when Mal Young got the boot and then he snuck on in there, I said, here we go. And when Tony Marina got the boot, I said, this is not good. Josh left to his own devices because Josh was he was co-EP and head writer. I said, this is not good. Josh left to his own devices. Not good. I saw someone else online trying to say this was a good thing. This is not a good thing. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
Josh, what'd you think?
In the words of Mama Ella Fitzgerald, I am bewitched, bothered, and bewildered by all of this. I don't understand. And here's why. I mean, I agree with everything Jillian just said, particularly about Josh Griffith. What I don't understand is that CBS has their hands, seemingly has their hands, all in Young and the Restless all the time. I can't believe that they allowed Josh Griffith to be quoted as saying he was going to write, not just be the head writer and the executive producer, but do all of the jobs, the breakdown writers as well. I mean, to tap dance all of that. I mean, Jillian, what you were saying about Tyler Perry is very true.
Yeah, because remember, Tyler shot that video when he had all them scripts for all of his shows. That did not look good for him because, like, I remember when I said it didn't look good for him, people tore into him. And I'm just like, Tyler, I say Tyler can do that because Tyler's not doing a show 52 weeks in, you know, for the year. Like, you know, Tyler's show goes on breaks and hiatuses. Like, this is just,
this is also a show where the head writing stories that are coming down to the breakdown writers, to the script writers, hey, none of us liked any of it. And suddenly the person who's in charge of all of these stories that are questionable at best are now going to be broken down. The breakdown writing is going to be done by him. It's already ungood. It's already bad, 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 terrible.
Yep, there you go.
As Miss Jillian would say. Terrible. I don't know why I said Miss Jillian. As Jillian would say, it's just terrible. But it's just, something is afoot, and I feel like there's a puzzle piece missing.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is.
Well, one of my two reactions to this might be one of the puzzle pieces, but when this first happened, I was sort of like Jillian in that this didn't surprise me from a context of, has anybody actually been watching what's been going on our screens for the past 9 months? We have been watching a show where the Young and the Restless, which used to have large group scenes all the time, has been reduced to scenes with 2 to 4 people in the same setting all the time. Like, we are getting way fewer sets being used.
That's COVID. Like, I don't.
It's not.
That's COVID.
But even after COVID, we had more stuff going on a year ago in terms of group scenes than we've had in the past 6 to 9 months. There's something changed in the past 6 to 9 months where all of a sudden we are down to way more coffee house scenes, way more Phyllis's hotel room scenes, where it's literally just two people in a room or two people in the coffee house. Like, something changed where all these, like, 4 to 6 people scenes became 2 to 4. And now we have a lot of 2 to 4. So that was my first thing. Like, I was not surprised from a standpoint of something behind the scenes is going on. And if they're cutting costs on scene by having fewer actors working together, then it's possible that they're wanting to make additional cuts. So that did not surprise me. The other thing that I thought about immediately when I read this news was, we've got a writer strike coming up. If you're going to try and save and maximize everything that you possibly can to try and get through a writer's strike, like,
yeah,
if you, like, I don't know that this is the reason, but it does not surprise me if this would be a contributing factor. Like,
tell him why you think that, because what is Josh?
For two reasons. When the last writer's strike happened, what did Josh do? Didn't he go FICOR? Right. And so if you have Josh as the head writer ahead of time with no other team to support him, you don't have to worry about any press that says your writers are on strike, and you don't have to worry about a FICOR because Josh is already FICOR and he's already there and he's the only one doing the job. So you don't have to worry about bad press. Then if you don't have writers during a writer strike who are not getting paid and then have to be back paid for the time that they were off, you're saving money there. What's to say that this is not a strategy by CBS and or Sony, hypothetically, to get through the writer's strike? Unlike Days of Our Lives, which films 6 months out, the Young and the Restless and the other soaps are known to shoot at most 4 to 6. Well, if a writer's strike lasts 4 to 6 weeks, right? If a writer's strike lasts 6 to 10 weeks, then a lot of these shows would be having to come up with contingency plans. It's entirely possible that what happened at Young and the Restless is all about getting through the writer's strike. That was my first reaction when it came out, was like, this might be just to get them through the writer's strike.
I know people don't want to hear this, but my initial, after that, though, you know, Whiskey Foxtrot, oh no, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, that's what it is. Yeah. I was like, you know, they're doing their 50th. So all the breakdown writers have given their contributions to the 50th. So I see you, Josh. You can coast on that. And then I thought to myself, you know, they've done the 50th. This is a huge milestone. I'm like, YNR's contract isn't up until 2024. I'm like, is this a way for you to get rid of this show? I'm like, what's going on here? That's why I gotta go dig deep, because this makes no friggin' sense. And it also makes me scared in a sense, because we're all thinking, everybody thinks he's gonna fail. Flip side, what if he's successful? What does that mean for other writers?
Jesus.
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. I'm just
If you look at Days of Our Lives in General Hospital, do you really think that Frank's going to try and take over the writing?
Well, he took Frank over the
doesn't
casting.
Frank doesn't
But Frank's
have
an
to
EP.
Take... No, that doesn't mean anything. Frank can stay where he's at, and he could say, okay, Dan, you're out, or Chris, you're out. And you know, they're co-heads. One of you is gone, you know. Insert one of the boys. And then once he does that, we're getting the rest of y'all. It works over here, saving them money. So you're going to do everything. Tag, you're it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like,
I mean, could Sony have just cut their budget?
Well, we don't know what's going on. We got to figure out what the hell is going on.
Well, the other thing, I don't know Josh personally, so this is just speculation, but like, one of two things. either Josh's willingness to do that it involves a healthy dose of self-interest, or he's a glutton for punishment. Because, like, do you really think that any of the other head writers want to take on all that responsibility?
Hell no.
Exactly.
No,
I can't
believe that Josh would do this without some guidance from some other entity.
Oh, yeah. He had to have... He more than likely had to say, look, I'm doing this, y'all down or what? And they probably said, sold. You know what I mean? So...
Oh, I can do it. I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just very troubling to me, my friends. Like,
that's a bad precedent.
Yes. Icarus is flying too close to the sun, baby.
Well, and the thing about that is that, like, not for nothing, but if we thought that anything about... If we've had our gripes at times about Days or General Hospital or Bold and the Beautiful for continuity or repetitiveness or outlandishness, there are literally... no checks and balances creatively standpoint of, like, a writer's room on Josh. Buckle up, folks, because it's entirely possible that someone who is now in control of everything will succumb to his craziest whim.
And he's going to fly close to the sun. Because we also have to remember, this is the man who fixed his fuck ass face to say in an interview. Yes, I'm gonna have to go here. He said in an interview, Lauren Lott said in an interview that he told her, we don't know what to do with you.
Oh.
That you know, this is the man who said that, and I have a problem with Catherine giving Devon his money, all of her money. Why? I'm like, why wouldn't she? That's his grant. Anyways, I still get mad at that. But this is the man who's told actress, we don't know what to do with you.
And Josh doesn't have a Ryan Kwan, a historian, or somebody like that around to sort of check him.
Well, and look at Josh's history at other shows. I mean...
Oh, my God, yes! Oh, Jesus, see?
Oh, let's just talk about what he did to Days.
Right.
That was raped on Alice Horton's sofa.
And exactly. Wasn't that also during a writer's strike?
And it was like during a reunion. I'm like, Lord, Nikki better have a Colt 45 push up under her bra, child, because ain't no telling what Josh will have my poor Nikki go through. Ashley gonna be talking to her shoe again, thinking it's a baby. Like, we don't know what Josh is going to do. Like, this man, whenever it is. But it's an anniversary, and Josh is driving the wheel. You got to side-eye him.
Would either of you be surprised if we get an interview at some point in the next 2 months talking about how the 50th anniversary is being used to spur on a new era of storytelling? Like, yeah. I just sort of feel like that's the foot in mouth.
Josh is gonna go to somebody.
Yes, I feel like that's coming.
It's damage control is gonna happen. What they're gonna do is let him go to someone who's gonna softball the hell out of him. They ain't never coming to us, cause you know gonna go to somebody to softball. That's why, shout out to my Logan. You just came out of your crypt, you bitch.
He did come out of his crypt, didn't he?
I'm like, Logan, where you been? Like, I joke and say crypt because Logan will come on Twitter and then say something and then ghost. And it's like, where you been? And like,
he drops a mic and leaves.
Yes. Logan said what he said, and he said, I ain't changing it. He said what he said about Josh. And I'm just like, damn it, Logan. Because what I said to him, I'm like, we need Logan back in the game. You know, Logan, you come out of your retirement, doll, and you interview him because Logan will get the tea. I don't trust the other ones to do it. I don't. And I ain't changing what I said.
No, because they're company people.
To quote Michael Logan, only in wacky-ass world of soaps would a guy who is already failing miserably as an executive producer and head writer be allowed to eliminate 5 breakdown writers and do the jobs himself. Tell the it. Shit would never fly in primetime.
No, it wouldn't.
End quote.
This would not. Like, can you imagine Yellowstone, you know, Taylor Sheridan saying, get out of here. Like, I think Paramount and the rest of them will be like, are you high? Like, they would not do that. Grey's Anatomy, Disney.
Can you imagine Shonda just saying, I'm going to do it all?
Mickey, well, listen, I mean
maybe, but Shonda would do it all. Shonda knows better.
You know, Shonda know better because Shonda's the bitch. I'm over here at Netflix. I got my
right. You like, but she wouldn't have pulled that on network television.
No, she wouldn't pull it on
ever.
She wouldn't pull it on Netflix, and she wouldn't pull it on ABC. So I'm just like, this is why I'm like, daytime needs to be held to the same standards as primetime all around. Like, Logan, you come out of your retirement and get the tea. Damn it, you interviewing my say. Oh, because I don't trust nobody else to do it. I'm telling you, they're going to find somebody to softball him.
Josh would never sit down with Michael Logan today.
No.
There is no... The people at the top...
I bet you they would. I bet you CBS told him if he... you know what? Yes, he would. Because I bet you CBS and Sony to control the damage... I bet you at first he would probably throw a bitch fit. He would act a fool. I got interviewing him, and I bet you they come there and tell him, you do what we say unless you want us to fire you next and bring them writers back.
I bet you
he would.
Here's the thing, though. I'm not sure that... I don't like putting this out into the ether because it sets bad precedent. But I'm not sure that the blowback from this in this era of only four soaps, in this era of cost cutting, I don't think that CBS or Sony is going to view the blowback that has happened thus far on this to outweigh the value of cutting costs and having him do it all. And this is why I don't think that they would let him go to Logan, because if he went to Logan and actually answered the questions that Logan would put to him, that would actually make things worse. Where now they basically did it. They did it all before the writer strike, so they don't have to worry about any writer strike headlines and FICOR. They have basically wrapped this up in a tidy bow of PR. They'll let 1 week play out. It will blow over and they'll be gone and they'll just keep going. And
it's already blown over.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying.
There is no
within 1 week. It will be over. There will be there's no damage control that CBS and Sony have to do for this because it's already lapsing. Like, we are recording this on a Sunday and there's nothing. You don't see hardly any coverage in any of the other major entertainment industry sites other than the initial reaction after the story broke at the Wrap. Like, it's done. I'm gonna talk to Joseph.
I told Joseph, I said, you stay on this. I say, Joseph, you be a bloodhound on this sucker and you get the tea. I'm gonna be right here, darling, waiting with my cup.
The only, if Nikki Fink were still alive and this was like the old deadline, not the corporate deadline, maybe with four soaps, this would still be something because she was a dog with a bone when it came to writers and she would not let this go.
Oh, yeah. But Nikki would be like, what the
but
hell?
In an era where all of the mainstream Hollywood sites that cover the industry, like, they're not doing anything and they don't have someone like Nikki around to stir it up.
That's why I
but
said
there
we
will
need...
be an interview. There will.
I don't think there will be. I don't think
don't
there
think,
will be.
You don't think there will be. You can't see the cover of a particular magazine or a particular thing doing.
I think
it'll just be like a gloss over.
I don't think a magazine. Do think a trade. He will go to a trade. They will try to control the narrative and say this is the new. I could see they're probably plotting. That shit. That's probably why we haven't heard anything.
This is what's
you can't see the headline. Josh Griffith ushers in a new day in daytime.
Exactly. They're gonna say that they're gonna try to say this is the new era and the new way of soaps, and they're gonna try to justify it. And whoever the dumbass is who interviews him, they're not gonna have the history and the knowledge of soap. So they're gonna ask him tough questions. from a writer standpoint, period. They're not going to ask it from like the daytime standpoint, like how we would.
See, so, I think my, I, so Josh, I have a variation. What I said earlier was, I think that there is going to be a new era of storytelling at The Young and the Restless. I think that if at most we will get a 50th anniversary interview with someone by someone with Josh, and in that interview about the 50th anniversary, questions will be asked about the change, and then we will get, there's going to be this new era of storylines. We're going to use this to bring on these other like new stories. But I don't think that we are going to get a new era of soaps, because if you do the whole new era of soaps, then it feeds into this whole thing of daytime is dying, because when you say a new era of soaps involves one person doing all the writing for 300 and some days a year, that only perpetuates the soaps are dying, because one in their right mind would actually do one person writing everything unless it was required.
I mean, they did that whole soaps are dying shit when Days went over to Peacock. So I can see them, they're not going to say soaps dying. I can see them keep hammering home, like Josh said, this is a new era. This is going to revitalize the genre. This is how we're going to, you know, this is how it's going to boost it. They're going to use those phrases, or certain phrases. They ain't going to be stupid enough to say dying themselves. Of course, the interviewer, because, you know, the interviewer's a schmuck. And I don't even know who the interviewer is, but I'm saying you're a schmuck.
They're
going to flip this and say this is, like, mark my words and my words be marked. They're going to say that this is the new era of soap telling. Watch.
I don't think they will, because I think they're wanting to avoid that type of narrative.
There's no
because
way
it's bad for the number one soap. It's bad when their entire PR campaign is, we are the number one soap, rah, rah, rah. We are the number one soap, rah, rah, rah. That's what it always is about The Run and the Restless.
You number one out of four, baby. Like, shit.
Right. And the thing is that the thing, but that's my thing. The facade at The Young and the Restless is that we are the number one. We are the most glamorous. We are all of this. That is the facade that The Young and the Restless continues. If they let Josh come in and do this new era of storytelling, it completely destroys the facade that everything about The Young and the Restless' marketing campaign is.
Well, they're letting him do it now, Luke. But I do think they're going to, yes, they're going to pimp the shit out of the 50th. They're going to use, see, Josh has a little cushion for him, the 50th. They're going to do all the shit for the 50th so that it can make everything die down. Yeah. Yep. And then maybe they'll interview him, but they're going to go to somebody where they can try to control the narrative. And they're purposely going to pick someone who don't know nothing about soaps. Ugh.
How often do you actually see any of these head writers do major interviews? Like, any of them on any of the soaps, how often do we actually see? Maybe each one of them gets one or two a year at most.
What's-his-face was all over the place. Brad Bell, sorry.
Right, but in recent years, we have seen very few interviews by head writers. They each maybe do one or two a year, and that's it.
That's
like, the
I
fact that they already got a quote from Josh, it may be another 6 months before we ever hear from Josh.
That's why I'm saying they're going to do this, because there's no way they can avoid this. They're going to do it. How soon is the question they going to do this? But you bet your sweet ass.
I think it's going to be it never happened. It never happened. Uh-uh. That is what they are going to do.
They can't. Not your sweet ass. I bet my sweet ass. They are prepping right now, and they're using, it's going to die down because the 50th is coming. We got Michael Damian, Rock Hahn coming back. We got this one. We got that. They're like, watch, it's a method to them. You watch. They're probably sitting somewhere with somebody and they're plotting and scheming right now. I'm telling you, they're how soon is going to be the tell of this and who they go to?
So let me ask this. The actual anniversary for the show is March 26th.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that is when some sort of interview should come. Like
I'll bet you those interviews were already. Listen, I am telling you, I think that the PR team there is probably ahead of this. I would not be surprised if the 50th anniversary interviews are already in the can and that they took place before the firings so that they could have all the 50th anniversary, everything that rolls out, whether it's going to be Entertainment Weekly, any of the varieties, anything that has to do with the 50th anniversary, it would not surprise me if all of that, those interviews with the writing team were done before they, like, with yeah, Josh, look, before
and they don't care canceled. Enough to do a follow up.
That's what I'm about to say. You can always do a follow up, Luke. If
you
I
can do a follow up, but whether or not the PR team at YNR says yes, that's an entirely different.
And then that's the telltale. How soon and who they go to first?
What I have noticed with a lot of celebrity scandals and various other entertainment world scandals nowadays is, rather than doing the interview that we became so accustomed to in the early 2000s and aughts, the strategy lately in this world of Instagram and TikToks, where everything is short reels and all this other stuff, is that they just go silent and let it blow over and then come
That's
back and pretend
true.
It never happened. Stuff
That's
that,
not
like,
true.
There
they
are
always...
various there are various artists and celebrities who will be like, okay, we're gonna basically disable our profile for a few weeks, and then they come back.
Well, that's different. You just
all I'm saying is I think that they are going to use a strategy of silence is our best method, and we're not going to do it. We're going to focus on the 50th, and we probably already have it in the can, and we're going to just not talk about it. I think that they're going to pull it off, and I think in the world where the only headline that the main entertainment news places want to cover is soaps are dying, is that the other entertainment sites will go along with it.
You also have to remember this writer's strike is still bubbling. So anybody worth who has a brain will, when they interview, they are going to ask that question. Now, will Josh answer it or will they ask the actors? Now, you and I both know anybody with a brain gets Eric to the Braden on the mic. That's the money shot right there. We don't even have to, you know what I said about that? We don't even have to get Josh. You get Eric Braden.
Right.
And let's see. That's the telltale.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. That. So right there, Jillian, you and I can high five there because we all know that each soap has their specific actors who, if you get them in front of a mic or on an interview, they will go off the rails. Every soap has it. Young and the Restless has more than a couple. And so unless they are going to really rein in the actors Eric Braden won't care, but like,
who gonna rein in Eric?
That's what I'm saying. He won't care, but like,
Bill Bell could do it. Shit.
I will agree with you. Like, I honestly totally agree with you that we will hear more about the writing changes from the actors than we will ever hear from the head writer himself.
Probably Doug. And if anyone
the other person who I was thinking of, Jillian.
Nah, I wish somebody would. I wish a mug would tell Eric, stick to the script. Who are you talking about? Stick to the script. Like, that's the telltale. They don't catch Josh. They damn sure. Anybody with a brain writing, even if you're a cub reporter, even if you're like a blogger, even if you're like an intern, whatever.
Someone needs to start following Eric Braden's Twitter very closely because that's going to be the place we're going to be like, this is bullshit.
Yes, that's going to be like, if he does a 50th anniversary interview, I guarantee you someone's going to slip in there and ask him, what do you think about the showrunner? You know, he's the EP, he is the head writer, he's the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker who got rid of all the
I am convinced that a lot of those interviews are probably already in the can before this happened. Because the Young and the Restless PR team would not be doing their job if they didn't have a lot of that done.
That is
but
true.
The side
but
commentary stuff.
Well, no, I'm. But what I'm saying is like what I. I'll, I don't disagree with you that whenever Eric Braeden is talked to next, he will probably say something.
And Eric doesn't.
But what I'm saying is a lot of those conversations that we would be expecting might have already taken
place. The official conversations.
Right. Yes. The official conversations have already probably taken place before this happened. And the only way we're going to get it from Eric Braeden is if someone else is able to get them on and have
Logan!
Him go sideways. Logan. Yeah, that would see that would be it. If Logan would talk with Eric Braeden, then we'd get it.
Michael, hello. Logan, Michael Logan, who's who I mean. You go over there and you talk to Eric, damn it, because I know he will tell it.
I love Michael Logan, but it's so sad that it's only Michael Logan.
The only reason why I say Michael Logan.
No, I know. I get it.
Because other people, I've already told you, they're not going to speak to us. They're not going to speak to us.
They would never speak to us. And do you think they're going to speak to anybody at the rap now that they broke that story?
Yeah, I bet you, well, you know what? If you have a good PR person would say, you know what? Let's do an interview with the rap. Let's control the
right.
damage, change the
yes,
damage.
Let's control the narrative. Yes.
Right. A smart PR person would do that. But they're not going to go to us. They're going to go to somebody who's going to softball it. I only name Logan because Logan's not going to sugar.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just
Logan is one of the few people out there who we
won't softball it.
Right. Logan.
Yeah,
Logan is one of the few that we can all recognize will not be a softball interview.
And you know what? And to also give props where props due, the cats over at TV Line, Osceello, Matt Webb, Mitovich, they will not punk out. They will, and they have just been. They used to be in the soap game.
Yeah.
So they would grill them on the situation and see what is what. But yeah, Logan or the TV Line cats.
Well, you know, Joseph would, but there's no way that the Young and the Restless is going to give an interview with them.
A smart PR person would give the exclusive to Joseph Capsch. A smart PR person would say, you know what? If CBS and Sony had a brain, they would go and say, you know what? Let's sit down and interview with this man who broke this story. They would do that.
I'm still under I agree with you under normal circumstances, but I think that they're going to work on the no news is good news and just let it blow over.
They're going to let it die before anything happens.
Yep. They are not going to address this. They are going to let it blow over is my opinion. Well, on that note, you can weigh in on what you think will happen in the comments at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09 and Jillian is at Jillian Bo. We thank you for listening. Until next time. So long.
Somebody go interview Aaron.
Bye,
you know he ready to set it up.